All right, please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. We'll be in verses 16 through 20. So today is a really wonderful day. Earlier, we received Chase into to membership of this church, and in a sense, Chase, you have been commissioned to be a part of this church and to be part of the next generation. But Chase isn't the only one who's commissioned in Scripture. We are all commissioned. You have been commissioned. And what does it mean to be commissioned? If for those of us who've been in the service, a commission takes with it responsibility. It brings rank with it. It brings the ability to get things done and to move things forward. And we've been commissioned to move the kingdom of God forward. Just as Christ commissioned the apostles, the disciples that had met him up in Galilee that we're going to be talking about later, just as those folks were commissioned and strengthened by the power of God and the Holy Spirit to take the kingdom of God and advance it and to care for it and to teach it, just as they have been commissioned to do that, you and I have been commissioned to do the very same thing. So congratulations for that. So please stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. So one of the greatest roles I had in the service as a chief was training junior officers. A junior officer wasn't like a young person. A junior officer in the Navy was a person who it was their first posting as an officer, and they were there to get qualified and kind of learn their job and things like that. And these people were several years my junior, who nonetheless rated as a salute and to be called sir or ma'am. And is there light reflecting off my head? Because I think people are having a hard time seeing me. It's hard when you don't have much hair on top. The light just kind of reflects off. yeah, that's right. But anyway, these folks were several years my junior, but they nonetheless rated respect, but they had to be kind of, you know, supported in different ways. And so my role here in as your minister the last couple of years, it's been really the same, with exception of uniforms, which you don't wear, and I'm not allowed to order any of you to your deaths. I can't send you to your death. You know, that's the one thing that's different about being a chief on a ship and being your minister here. But the best part of that means that I get to teach you and train you to work in the commission that you've received from the Lord. And so that's an honor. All right. So it wasn't from the President of the United States or Congress that you received this commission, but it was from the highest authority in heaven and on earth. And that's really the main point I want you to take home with you. Christ's authority is based on the promises made and kept by God. Okay, his authority is based on the promises made and kept by God. And this authority is, it brings everlasting comfort, and it's passed on to you through the Great Commission. This authority that you've been given to spread the gospel is actually a source of comfort for you, and it's also, it comes to you by way of the Great Commission. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to break this down verse by verse, this great commission that we've received and the disciples received and that you and I received. First of all, this promise that he kept, this Old Testament prophecy, it's actually part of a broader truth. And that is that the Lord keeps his promises. He kept his promises about his own redemption, and that's important for you because we all are wondering what's going to happen after this life. Where do we go from here? And because God keeps his promises, you know, and read in here, if you've read in the Bible, you know where you go after you leave this world. You go to be with him. And so it's important for you to have faith in the Lord that he keeps his promises, right? Okay. So the first thing I want to tell you is that the Christ's authority confirmed and fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. Now this is the most fun, for me it's the most fun part of the lesson, is seeing how he's kept his promises in the scriptures. First of all, in verse 16 we see that Jesus not only informed the disciples where they would meet after his passion, but he had also communicated the same word through Mary who had been with him at the garden tomb. That's early on in Matthew 28. So Jesus not only watched over his own word to perform it, but he also watched over his disciples to ensure that they received it. You know, you see, I forget a lot of times what's going on, but the Lord, he never forgets what he has for you. He always watches over his word, and he watches over you to receive his word. Isn't that a blessing? So he's not slack concerning his promises. And these promises go all the way back, several hundred years before this first century where Jesus was operating. If you look at Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. So that's talking about the Messiah, but when he talks about the nations being his heritage, the nations, that Hebrew word for nations is goyim, and it's the same thing, it's Gentiles. We have been part of God's redemptive plan from the beginning, even during the Old Testament. And that ought to tell you something about the love of the Lord. It ought to tell you something about the grace of God. People think that the grace of God began in the New Testament, and that the God of the Old Testament was that horrible, harsh God, and the gracious God is in the New Testament. That's wrong. We were chosen in him from before the foundation of the universe, like Doug was praying over Chase earlier today. But because we have been chosen in him, God had deposited prophetic word all throughout the Old Testament that pointed ahead to the time that Jesus was in right now, that we're talking about today. He was making promises. God was making promises about you to Jesus that Jesus fulfilled, and he kept those promises. And that promise became a commission. In Psalm 8, verses 5 and 8, we read, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. Jesus has been given dominion over this entire world, this entire universe. Jesus has dominion over it. It may not feel like it. It may not look like it in this world today, but it's nonetheless true. I've been talking about this guy for a long time, for quite a few weeks. He's turned into a mentor of mine, Dr. Liam Gallagher, who pastors 10th Presbyterian, and I was listening to him preach, and he was talking about that before Jesus came along, the way that the devil had dominion over this earth was by keeping people in darkness. But now what's happened is that the devil has put a blinder over the eyes of Christians, and the teaching of God's word has become less and less a priority. And what that's done is it's caused people to think that the devil has dominion and Jesus doesn't. But Jesus said that the gates of hell wouldn't be able to withstand the gospel. So if we see it, if we think we see the kingdom of darkness overtaking the gospel, it's a deception by the enemy. And more on that in a few minutes. Psalm 8 goes on to say, you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. You know, that verse in verse 8 there of Psalm 8, the birds of the heavens, it makes me remember what Jesus said, that there's even the sparrow that falls out of a sky doesn't escape the attention of God. And if God is so concerned about sparrows that are flying around, how much concern does he have for you and the promises that he has for you? And the promises that he is not slack concerning the keeping of those promises. There's another prophetic word that points ahead to our time, that what we're talking about today. And if you remember way back when we were going through the book of Daniel, Daniel 7, 13 to 18, it says, I saw in the night visions, this is Daniel talking, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. He was alarmed because he had saw his people, part of this prophetic vision where all these nations, these four nations, had risen up and down, and they all had affected Israel in some way. And he approached, Daniel says, I approached one of those who stood there and asked him concerning the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But listen to this closely. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever. So when Jesus said, All dominion has been given to me, therefore, go out and make disciples. What's happened here is that those disciples were the first ones to receive that kingdom in fulfillment of Daniel 7's prophecy. That means that Christ's reign has begun from that point, and it's still going on. Don't let the enemy deceive you. You've been told many times, I think even in this church, that the church is on the decline. Let me tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie. Quit living and believing in that lie. And stand up with the commission. Be men, be women that stand up with that commission that's been given to you. Daniel's prophecy was so important to the Jews who had received Christ in the first century, because these were people that had received that prophecy, that powerful prophecy had been fulfilled. And it was important to them because after having been Hellenized a few generations ago under Antiochus Epimenes, who had destroyed them, who had persecuted them, he had executed many Jews because they had refused to renounce their faith in God. You can read about this in Hebrews 11. And the time they lived in then, in Jesus' time, they were living in that period of that fourth beast, that terrible beast with the iron teeth, which we read about. That same beast, Rome, would destroy the temple in AD 70, about 40 years after the events that we're reading about today. And the Jews would be left without a spiritual home, with the exception of those who have received Christ. They would derive comfort from the promises that God had kept in Christ. And you and I are to derive comfort for the promises that God has kept, not only in His Word, but to you. The Lord keeps His promises. He's not slack about His promises. And that Son of Man, the Son of Man that was in the prophecy of Daniel and Matthew's Gospel calls Jesus the Son of Man 29 times. In the NIV, it's clear that the Gospel of Matthew, we see that fulfillment of Jesus of prophecy. Church, this is important because God keeps His promises to you. You can have faith and trust in Him to keep His promises all throughout your life and into glory. It should never, when a Christian is facing a doctor's visit, when a Christian is facing hospice, when a Christian is facing a bad prognosis, it should never happen in a Christian's life where they're afraid of where they're going to be. It's natural to be a little bit afraid. It's natural to want to keep on living in this world, but this world is not our home. There's no mistaking this point. Jesus is the Son of Man who's been given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. And if you have received him by faith this morning, you are a part of that kingdom which never goes away. To him, all peoples, nations, languages will serve him. And how do I know this? Because the Bible says so. Who taught this word to me? The Holy Spirit did. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is a real person? Did you know that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead? The Holy Spirit is alive and real and speaking to you, primarily through his word, but by other circumstances as well. The Holy Spirit showed this word to me through the people that God put in my life. From that little six-year-old who told me about Jesus. I was a six-year-old kid. My dad was in the Air Force. We were stationed at Maxwell Air Force Base. Unless they've changed the streets around, I could take you to the very place where this happened. A little kid, little six-year-old kid, I'll never forget it. I forget things all the time nowadays. But somehow the Lord has never let me forget the day I came to know him as my Savior and Lord. A six-year-old kid walked right out of his house, walked right up the stoop. I was on the sidewalk, and he told me about Jesus. I'll never forget it. Then the person at VBS, I went to VBS one day when I was in that same, when my dad was stationed in another base in Montgomery, Alabama, and I went to VBS. My mother didn't even know I got on the bus. I just got on the bus and went. And this was in the 70s, and problems were different back then. I went to VBS, and I would never forgot that either. So all you VBS volunteers who may not see those kids come to church, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. The what you've done for them is train them, is to make disciples of them, and you don't even know it. And then my own mother, she prayed for me every day. My youth pastor, my pastor instructed me, various chaplains I had in the Navy and so on. And that's how I came to know Christ. Some of you have similar stories. Many of you have been taught by people who were commissioned by the Lord, whether they knew it or not, to make and train the disciples. You see, our commission that we've been talking about, that I opened this sermon with, is all about making disciples, making them, going out and finding them. I know we used to think that Christians just magically came to Grace Point Church and that's just how the church grew, but that's not how it goes. Pastor Hamer and Miss Jerry, they'd go out there and hand out tracts. I keep talking about that. I think Roger told me that story, and I've never been able to shake that because I've did the very same thing with my pastor growing up. But my next point that I want to tell you is that Christ's authority, this authority to make disciples, it extends from generation to generation. Verses 17 and 20 to 20, we read how Jesus received and pass on to those disciples the authority they needed to spread and care for the kingdom of God. You have been given the authority and the power by the Holy Spirit to take the kingdom of God and spread it and to care for it. Okay? You do. Is it on Jesus to build his church? Yes. Is it on Jesus to preserve his church? Yes. But who is his body? If you know the answer, just go ahead and tell me. We are. We are his body. We are the ones who go out and take that gospel out there. First of all, not all worshiped Jesus upon arrival in Galilee. There were some who still doubted. Some of us today have our doubts about the reality of the living God acting in our lives by way of the Holy Spirit. Christianity, it's a part of our life. But it's not our whole life. Being a Christian is what we do on Sunday mornings between the time we walk in the door and the time we head into the fellowship hall with our friends. Worshiping Jesus as God should go far beyond our Sunday routine. It should be something that's part of our life every day, all day. How many of us go out of our way in our walk with God? I mean, it'd be hard for some of us to go out here and talk to people on the streets, but the disciples, they walked all the way to Galilee from Jerusalem to Tabgha, which is on the northwest shore of Galilee. That's a 33-hour walk. That's a long way to walk. But when after they arrived, they worshiped the Lord and heard his pronouncement about his elevation to the highest authority. And then they were themselves commissioned. They were given that great commission. In the Navy, a person applies for a commission. They either go to the Service Academy or they go to ROTC, which is Reserve Officer Training Corps, or maybe they'll go to Officer Candidate School after they've gone to college. There's different ways of becoming an officer. And some of them are directly commissioned. These are all ways that a person receives a commission. But their commission comes with an oath. Some of you who've served know this oath already. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I'm about to enter. So help me God. That oath ought to be every Christian in this church who has received the Great Commission, and yes, you have. Is Jeff talking to me? Yes, I am. If I need to get eye contact with every single person in this church so that there's no mistaking that I'm talking to you. I'm absolute, and you too at home, I'm talking to you too. You have been commissioned. You have been greatly commissioned. And therefore that oath applies to us. We will well and faithfully discharge the duties of this office that we've received. We have been commissioned to take the gospel out there. And in a few weeks, we're going to be going through some training. I'm a chief, and I train officers. That's what I do. And we're going to be training you how to take this commission out there. You and I are also given a commission. Only the authority is much higher than that of the armed service of this country. We've been called to go and to make disciples of all nations. And who are these nations that Jesus talked about? Well, it's the same nations that was talked about in Psalm 2. It's you and I. It's the Gentiles that have been grafted into this family of God. Jesus is telling these Jews that his kingdom was to be global. It would include the Gentiles, making one new people. Remember, we studied that in Ephesians a few weeks ago. And what was to be done with these disciples? They were to be baptized. Church, how many have we baptized in the last 2 years? Anybody care to tell me? Two? One for sure. One. In Bhojpuri, India, between 50,000 and 83,000 believers were baptized in a 12-month period. A multiplying movement in Mongolia produced 60,000 new believers during the 90s. In 2001, Chinese house church leaders reported baptizing 500,000 people in a 12-month period. In an Asian Muslim country, more than 150,000 Muslims came to faith in Jesus from 1984 to 2004. It's not popular to be a Christian in a Muslim country. That kind of thing can get you killed. Cambodia, which was the site of the Khmer Rouge killing fields back in the 70s, 60,000 new believers in the past 10 years. That doesn't sound to me like the church is on the decline, does it? Well, Jeff, we were told that the church is on the decline here in America and in the West. There's something to be said for the church having grown from the Fertile Crescent up into Europe and into the America, and now it's going down into the South. That's true. But there is no excusing. There's no excuse for a Christian to sit on their hind end on the pew while the community around us doesn't hear about the gospel, and we blame it on the church on the decline. Yet, in places in this world, the darkest places of this world, Hindu countries, Buddhist countries, Muslim countries, where people are, communist countries, where people are hauled off to prison for their faith. Who are we in a free country? Who are we to not be out there telling other people about Jesus? At least one person. If you were there for Miss Bev's class in VBS a few weeks ago, she had a little demonstration with dominoes, which represented one person telling another person about Christ. And there was a at the end of that domino train was a picture of the world. And it started with one little face of a child on that first domino, and they just clicked that domino, and one person told the other, and so forth, and until the whole thing was done. We've been commissioned to spread the gospel. That's what we're called to do. It's not just Jeff. It's everybody that's a Christian. Those big numbers, that sounds familiar. It should sound familiar to some of you. If you read the book of Acts, right, you see all those thousands of people becoming Christians. And it's easy for us in America to say, well, you know, thousands of people were being added to the church, but that was the apostolic age, and that's kind of how that happened. Well, these statistics prove that wrong. God is still in the business of saving people. God is still in the business of going out into a lost world and saving them. What about the neighborhood next to us here on this north end? What about your family? Is it hard for us to have prayer time in our family over a meal? If it's hard, is it hard for us to talk about the things of the Lord and to our kids, our grandkids? If we've gotten to that place, God still allows U-turns. God still allows us to repent and do things better. We've been commissioned to take the gospel to these folks. The power of the good news of Jesus Christ has not lessened. We are called in verse 20 to teach the people to obey the Lord. Teaching disciples is how we equip them to serve others for Christ. And I'm so grateful for the hard work. And there's multiple ministries in this church who are doing great things. But I want to highlight one just because of the material that I'm preaching about. And it's the equipping ministry. Whether it's Grace Path, Grace Company, Precepts, other programs, this church is full of solid teaching. But the question is, are you taking advantage of it? Are you going to Grace Path? Are you going to Precepts? Are you going to these teachings? The question here is, having a knowledge of the Lord is so helpful in so many different ways. What comes to my mind first is mental stability. In the darkest times of my life, when I was really on the run of the, when I was on the run from the Lord, running from what my mother told me about the Lord, the scriptures chased me. The scriptures chased me down, wouldn't let me go. The Lord never let me go. And they gave me a rock to stand on. Will you survive as a person, as a Christian, without going to Grace Path? Yes. Will you survive as a Christian without going to Precepts? Yes. But why would you want to? Why would you want to forego that instruction, that teaching that helps you? You're missing out on a firm foundation that will give you help when the storms of life rage against you. Jesus said, if you have these words of mine and you put them into practice, your house will be built on a rock. And the winds came and the rains came, but that house never got washed away because they had these words of his. We get his word through studying it, going to class, going to Precepts, going to Grace Path. In a few weeks, we're going to be having Grace Path to train people on how to make Christians, how to take the gospel out there. And I'm asking for every single person in this church to go to that class. This knowledge of the Lord becomes our comfort, which brings me to my last point. I only have a few minutes here. Christ's authority is our source of comfort. Verse 20b closes this narrative with a powerful word of comfort and encouragement that they would never be without him. The disciples that had been commissioned with this big job that was bigger than them, needed his continual presence to make that a reality. That vision was greater than their resources. Your vision that you have has to be greater than your resources. I am praying and challenging the leadership of this church to have a vision that's greater than its resources, so that we can see the hand of God move in our church. In another place, he told them when he went away. And so how is Jesus with his disciples when he's up in heaven? I'll tell you how. John 14 talks about it. He says that a comforter would come to them and would teach them and remind them and be with them. So when Jesus said, "And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age," he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. Are you deriving comfort from the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you? That's why he's here with us. He's the third person in the Godhead. He's here for our comfort. He's not just a stamp, like a postage, for us to go to heaven. He's not just this enigmatic force out there. He's within each one of you if you've received Christ by faith. He ministers every promise of God. Listen, you know those promises that I've been talking about where God watches over his word to perform it? That power of watching over his word to perform it is accomplished by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit confirms promises from God to you and sees that they're carried out and doesn't let up on you until they are carried out. The great thing about the Holy Spirit is he's constantly communicating to you, constantly empowering you, constantly encouraging you, praying for you when you can't pray for yourself, when you feel like you're so far from God, when you feel like you're so far from what your family taught you, when you feel like you're so far from what the Bible tells you, when you feel like your prayers don't go any higher than the ceiling over your head. The Holy Spirit is praying for you right then and there to God with words that can't even be groaned. That's the power of God's love for you. Tap into it. Have that communion with him. Just close your eyes and reflect on him ministering to you. Ministering that word to you, that comforting word, that good word to you. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, Psalm 100 says, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. God loves you so much. And he loves them too. But they don't know. It's for you to go out there with your commission that you've received. I had thought about coming in here with my uniform today to communicate this to you all, but I tried it on yesterday, and the Lord told me that I need to lose a couple of pounds. I tried on my chokers and everything. I mean, this is going to be a special day. But in closing, remember this: Christ's authority is based on the promises made and kept by God. God has made good on his promises to his disciples, and he's going to make good on his promises to you. The authority that he's given you comes with comfort, comes with encouragement by way of the Great Commission. You have been commissioned. Now go forth, led by the Holy Spirit, to make disciples. We'll get them baptized for you. Don't worry about it. And we'll work together to train them. Amen? Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, honor, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.